Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Bruce, Terry, for this invitation. I'm really honored, delighted to be here. I really feel such a great connection with the church here, especially this year with the team, you know, coming down in, was it June, July? They came down for a mission trip, and the team was really blessed by your hospitality, by what God is doing around here. Would you give your pastor a hand, okay? Thank you so much for investing in this nation. Thank you so much for being obedient to the call of the Lord to sow into the nations. Okay, so when I really want to emulate, I think, the faith of people like Pastor Bruce who pursue God's will through his life. Okay, so it's an honor to be here. Today I want to share a message. Oh, actually, we have a message plan, but I think after yesterday's session last night, we spoke and we decided to kind of take the message through a different direction. So this was put together, kind of prayed together, put together last night. And this message is entitled Three Questions of Life. How many questions?
Three
questions. Okay, so allow me to bring one greeting from Malaysia. Okay, so Malaysia next year is our tourism year 2026. And the slogan is Malaysia Truly Asia. Okay, so Malaysia, just an introduction, is a population of 35 million people, multi-race nationality. Malaysia is famous for the food, okay, diverse, various kind of food, and also the nice holiday spot. Okay, so if you ever want to drop by in Malaysia, feel free to visit us. Feel free to say hi as well. Okay, so greeting from the church as well, Every Nation. It's really an honor to be part of this global family, to see what God is doing in every nation. It really builds your faith. I really have, when I see what God is doing in the different nations all across the world, it enlarges our faith. It helps us see that, wow, God is a big God. And God is not just within our culture. God is not just within our perspective, but God is a big God. Okay, so thank you for being part of this. Okay, so a bit of my family. That's the picture of my wife and I. My wife and I have been married for 18 years. Nine of the first years were, yes, praise God for that, okay? So the first half of the 18 years were good, second half were great, okay? Just in case, okay? So that's me and my wife. We have four children. I'll kind of just introduce them a little bit more. My eldest, Kristen, she's 17 years old, and she will be finishing high school in 6 weeks' time, okay? So she'll be going to college. She is gentle. She's a little bit like her mother. She is part of the worship team, and that's what she does. Okay, so she is stressed out with her final exams. My son, he is 15 years old. He plays competitive football. He is a very introvert, very focused, disciplined guy. So he studies and he does his football. Okay, so that's my son, Shane. Faith is 11 years old. She's the most extroverted one. Okay, so I think she took all our extroverted genes. And she wears her emotion on her sleeve. She likes to perform. She likes to sing. She likes to dance. She's very expressive. And recently, right? Recently, she has been pestering me for a dog. Okay? And I thought that life is challenging enough. And she write a business proposal on why I should have a dog. And she put all the benefits of a dog, put different pictures. And she did study what kind of dog would suit our family. And she presented it. And I saw the card. I thought, oh, that's so nice. But no. Okay. And just like any civil war, it's long drawn. Okay. Months goes by. There is negotiation. There is bargaining. There's silent treatment. There is skirmish and guerrilla tactic. And she comes home after playing. You know, so all these things is ongoing. And I said no. And she said, why? You know. But recently, God answered her prayer.
Praise God.
Okay. God answered her prayer. I didn't put her picture here, but there was a picture of her holding and hugging a brown poodle happily. So what happened was, okay, a church member of ours who has a dog moved right down our road, okay, same road as our house, okay, and almost every evening she gets to walk and play with the dog. So God answered a prayer, but most importantly, God answered my prayer as well. So I don't have to have a dog, okay, at home. Okay? So now she's all good now, okay? So Joash, he is 8 years old. He's mommy's boy. He's easygoing. He's happy-go-lucky. He's kind. He's helpful. So that's just a little bit of my family. So that's her graduation last week. Okay, they had their graduation before the final exam. Okay, don't ask me why, but that's how it is. And that's my son after losing a football match. Not very happy. And this is a recent trip that my wife and I, we brought them to a theme park, which they enjoyed and they would not enjoy. Okay? So the things, the different things that they enjoy. So we are enjoying our different stages of our parenting, different stages of the kids, and you know, some these two, we are training them obedience. We are having battle with screen times, while as the two elder ones, we are establishing their faith, helping them with processing decision makings in life, just enjoying the gift of family. Right. So a little bit about myself. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 18 years old in college. My family background, we were, well, a little bit free thinker. We were nominal ancestral worship, or at least my parents. So I always grew up wondering if there is a God. Okay, I always grew up thinking if there is a God. I kind of knew that there is someone out there, but I kind of didn't know who he was, right? So every time when we submit in school, when we had to fill out our religion, we have our name, our race, our religion, and I always didn't know what to put, okay? And sometimes I asked my mom, are we Buddhists? And my mom said, not really. She says, if you want to put Buddhist, go ahead. Okay? But I says, okay, but I feel really sad writing none, okay, in a religion column. I said none, right? So, but over the years, as I grew up, I begin to see there's something different in the life of my friends who are Christians, right? And I was a good student. And at the time, I think the belief that I believed that good education will save me, or at least that was ingrained into my family, the culture that pursuing good education will save you, right? So that was my mindset. And I see some of my friends and their grades are not so good, but they have that joy in life. They had that security in life that I didn't have. And it causes me to be curious about my Christian faith. And then after high school, I came over to Kuala Lumpur. And lo and behold, my college is just right across the Every Nation Church. Okay, so that was more than 27 years ago. And the youth pastor at that time, associate pastor, Pastor Timothy, and a few other leaders, they were reaching out to people like me as a student. And I would avoid them. Okay, I would avoid them because I'm not from a Christian family. I would kind of visit their small group once in a while. Well, free food. Okay? You know, I would just go and visit once in a while. But I would not. I would always avoid their invitation to discover about God, to church services. And in those days, we didn't have handphone. How many guys remember those days? Okay, some of you are not born yet, but we have a landline, right? Okay, landline. You know, when I went back to my parents' house in Sarawak during Chinese New Year, my youngest son saw the landline. She says, ooh, what's this? Something new. Okay, so they were playing with the phone, okay? But anyways, the pastor will call our house, the landline, and we are all students. And when we knew that it was the pastor that called, I would tell my friend who picked up the phone, I'm not in. Okay? I'm not in. Okay? So that was me and kind of running away from God, but God pursued me. So over the course of 9 months, 15 months, eventually I realized that there is a God. Eventually I realized that there is the God who loves me. There is a God who loves me, pursued me, died for me, and it is my Savior. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I could see the love of God through the people around me, the leaders and the people in the church. Whenever I was there, I could feel the warmth, the community. I could sense God's love for the people. Okay, so that was how I got saved. I shared this with the leaders last night, but I thought this was just a summary of my life. So I got saved, 18 years old, my faith journey started. And throughout my whole, I'm 46 this year, and throughout my whole journey, I work in the corporate world for about 20 years. Okay, so the blue, I work in a audit consulting firm, KPMG, for 2 years, 3 years. That's the blue consulting. The one in yellow, I work as a finance analyst in oil and gas. I work in Shell. And the one in red, I work in asset management industry. So I was a finance grad, and the one in white, I was working full-time with the church. I took some years off. I was equipped and trained in School of World Mission in Manila when I was 24 years old. This is where I get married, okay? So when the guy who did the design, I say, make sure this and this do not get interchanged, okay? It's not like one and then four loves, it's not, okay? So it's one wife, four kids at a different age. I planted the church when I was 28 years old, about 30 minutes away from our HQ Church of Every Nation. Planted the church again 3 years ago. And some of you might know that a year and a half ago, my senior pastor suddenly had a heart attack. He passed away, and I had to kind of take on the mantle of leading the Every Nation Church in Malaysia. And I came out full-time ministry, not knowing, right? So 3 months, I was full-time ministry. Three months before my senior pastor actually passed. Okay, so regardless, I'm showing this so that I want to help you to see that whether or not I was in full-time ministry or not, it doesn't matter to me. Whether I was working outside in the corporate world or not, it doesn't matter to me, right? Because at the end of the day, we serve, we are a disciple of Christ, and I believe that serving God is not just for the full-timers or for the pastors, it's for every single one of us who call ourselves Christians, that we get to do this together as a church. Okay, so just a bit of my background, I'll kind of go back to that. But I want to read a portion of scripture. Put this together last night, Matthew 16. This is probably in the second year of Jesus' ministry, right? By this time, he was getting a little bit more popular. So people are following him. People are hearing news about him, teaching, doing miracles. So now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some said John the Baptist, others said Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? Okay, so Jesus confronted Peter. Yes, I know all these people say these things about me, but you, okay, Peter, you, who do you say I am? I think all of us, at one point in our life or another, we'll have to be confronted with this question, whether you are born in a Christian family or not, right? Yes, people may say that Jesus is a good man, he's a good teacher, he's a legend, but whatever it is, who do you say I am? Who is Christ to you? And that was the question that I had to answer, yeah, when I was kind of running away from God and kind of visiting church in and out. And that question haunted me. And that question just, yeah, who is Jesus to me? If he is Christ, if he is truly the Son of God, if he's truly who he say he is, then I have a choice, right? I have a choice to either receive him or reject him. I have a choice to live my life in accordance to his will or not, right? So who is he to you? So that's the first big question in life. And how Peter replied that you are Christ, the Son of a living God. So Peter confesses that Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, right, of the world. So the first question that we all have to ask ourselves is, who is Christ to you? Right? Is he just another nice concept that you follow? And besides following the business icon and the entertainment icon, and this is just one of the icons that I follow. Is he, you know, because you grew up in a Christian home and that's what you do every Sunday, right? Or is he someone who, yeah, he has some nice principles to follow and, you know, he have a few good quotes and some of the quotes, I don't really like what he say, but I only choose what I like about what he say. Or is he the Son of God? Is he Messiah? Is he the Savior of the world? Okay, who is Jesus to you? Who is your Savior? As mentioned, when I was growing up, education is always my savior. Education was the answer to a good life, the education. So that was my savior until I met the ultimate savior, Jesus Christ. And I realized that education, wealth, security, title, achievement, it doesn't save me. It is not supposed to save us. Those are good things, but it is not supposed to be a God thing. Right? Those are good things, but it's not supposed to be an ultimate thing. Right, so Jesus, I begin to realize that Jesus is Christ. Then we acknowledge the Lordship of Christ in our lives. So I remember graduating and we were looking for jobs. And I remember doing my resume. In those days, we don't have ChatGPT to help us. So we literally had to type every single word. Okay, before I sent my CV to the different firms, I prayed. I said, Lord, you know, I came to know you about 2 years ago, and I will be spending the next, 30, 40 years of my life working, and I want to get it right. Right? I want to get it right. I want to do it right. And I have this opportunity to start right. Lord, I commit my next season of my work life, not knowing all that would happen. I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor. I didn't know all that chart that you see. All I know is that, Lord, I commit my working life, my career into your hands. I want to continue to serve you. I want to continue to know you. Lord, you lead the way. I'm submitting to the Lordship of Christ. So the question that all of us have to ask, okay? Maybe you're here on a business assignment, a corporate assignment. Maybe you're passing by. Maybe you're a student here. Or maybe you're staying around here. Your roots are here. The question to ask is, who is Christ to you? Okay? And then, after Peter answered he is Christ, a few verses later, Jesus introduced the concept of church. Okay? So Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Okay? Blessed are you for seeing this, for knowing this, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And verse 18, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Say Jesus church. Say Jesus church. So Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't it interesting that Jesus introduced the church upon the confession of Peter that he is Christ? Upon the confession of Christ, the next natural question is, what is church to you? It's almost as if it's the next step after our confession of Christ, that what is the church community that you are part of? So the second question is, what is church to you? And I believe in the local church. I love the local church. A lot of good things that happen in my life, through my life, is through the local church. Is any local church perfect? No. Right? Each church has its different challenges, different people that we have to work with, a different conflict that we misunderstanding that we go through. But that does not stop God from using His church to transform us and to do His will. Right? What is church to you? Is church something that you just, sometimes you go online, sometimes you watch a sermon from the US and hear a song from Australia? What is church to you? Okay, so the confession will lead us to a community. And church is God's idea. Because Jesus said He would build it, right? He just let us be part of it. I remember Faith, the dog girl, okay, my daughter. This was about, probably when she was about 5-6 years old. That night, my wife had a dinner function. So she leave the task of getting dinner for my kids. And just like any responsible father who wants healthy dinner for their kids, I decided to buy KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, okay? So my daughter, Faith, was in the car with me. She was sitting back in a car seat, and obviously I know where KFC is, okay? So we are driving to the outlet. I told her, Faith, let's go hunt for, we have a mission. Let's go look for dinner, okay? So let's look for KFC. Yeah, KFC, let's go look for it. And I say, Faith, you look to the left and I'll look to the right. Knowing well, as we turn the corner, KFC will be on the left. I know that, of course. So I say, Faith, you look to the left, okay? And I'll look to the right. Let's look for KFC. And as I turn the corner and she looked at KFC, it took her 3 seconds. Oh, Dad, that's KFC. I says, yay, no, we found KFC, we found KFC. And she corrected me. She says, Dad, you didn't find KFC. I found KFC, okay? She corrected me, right? So sometimes you think that we are building the church. No, God is building the church. And He invites us to be part of it. He invites us to be part of the joy of journeying with people and reaching out. God invited us here, but He is building the church. And He gave us the church that He is building is a church that gates of hell will not prevail, okay? So some of you, if you are into gaming, into those war games, gates are defense. So which means that the church is always advancing. The church is always overcoming darkness with light. the church is always pushing back the kingdom of darkness. The church is always advancing. And I love the kind of church that God is building. Victorious, advancing, pushing back the kingdom of darkness. But church is God builds the church.
Yeah.
And you know how God, how Jesus feels about the church? He loves the church. In fact, Paul used the most intimate description about the church, the bride of Christ. I don't know what other term or description you will use to describe the highest form of love when Jesus says, this is my bride. You know, yesterday, Pastor Bruce was mentioning about a wedding. Okay, I don't know whether the couple's here, but imagine, okay, imagine if Mark, you were in the wedding, right? So if imagine Mark, you're in the wedding and you go to the groom and say, your bride today, the makeup is off and you know the gown is, I think the hair looks, do you think the groom will be very happy with Mark? Of course not, right? Okay, what do you think? Okay. So in the same way, right? In the same way, God loves the church. And sometimes it's so popular for us to quickly criticize the church, whether it's our church or the church down the road. Let's not do that because it's God's bride.
Right.
So we want to be part of God, what God is building, number one. And number two, we want to love what Jesus loved. And God loves the church. The church is a gathering of God's people. You and I, we are God's people. It's a gathering of God's people around what? Around the message of the gospel. Right? That results in heartfelt worship. That's why we do worship. That results in covenantal community. And it results in kingdom mission. Okay, there's an upward relationship. There's a horizontal relationship. And there's an outward relationship to the world. So what is church to you? Right? What is church to you? All throughout the Bible. Okay, so this is, okay, so, sorry, this is supposed to be Acts 2. It says the first picture of a church after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. It gives us picture, images of how a church should be, right? Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. Say the word together.
Together.
And had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So you see that the mark of a church, there is the preaching of the word, there is prayer. It's the church is scriptural. The church is spiritual. The church is sacramental. That's why we do baptism. That's why we do the communion. The church is covenantal, which is communal and relational because they were together. And then every day they continue to meet together. Right? There is a meeting together. So that's why Jesus tells Peter, upon your confession of Christ, there is a connection to community. There is a continuous meeting together in temple courts, at homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The church is also missional. There is always an addition. There's always looking out to the people who is unchurched. So the first question that we ask is, who is Christ to you? The second question is, what is church to you? And I pray that we will see the church as how Jesus sees the church. He builds it. He calls it His bride. He loves it. And He calls us to be His body, right? In Ephesians, in Corinthians, it tells us that we are His body, right? If you look at human body, it's every part has its function, right? It says that Jesus is the head and you and I, we are the body. The church is not just Pastor Bruce and Terry and a few leaders. The church is every single one of us, that we are the church. And Corinthians speaks about how Paul exposes the lies, and I think that is still true today, that is destroying the church, about we feel that we don't belong. Okay, how the ear and the feet says that I don't belong, I'm not like the eye, I'm not like the hands, I don't belong. And the second lie is that we feel that I don't need them. Okay, I don't need them. So that's the spirit of insecurity and the spirit of independence. The truth is, every part of the body, we play different roles. Every part of body is needed. Every part of the body is connected and joined together. A story that I want to share is my eldest daughter, the 17-year-old, when she was probably four years old, and I thought that I want to make my children happy. I don't know whether you have IKEA here.
Yes.
Okay, you have IKEA here. So we have IKEA, and there's this nice little wooden kitchen set. That the kids can play, the little girls can play. So I thought, okay, after we finished school, I think it was one of her first year that she goes to a place, kindergarten school. I said, At the end of this sem, I will buy you a kitchen set, and she was excited. And so I went to IKEA, I bought the kitchen set. And like all IKEA, you have to assemble it, right? So I, after dinner, I told my wife, leave it to me, okay? The man of the house, I'll fix it, okay? So I opened up the IKEA set and took out all the parts and took out the instruction manual. Who needs instruction manual, okay? So I was fixing it. And as I was fixing it, almost done, okay? After huffing and puffing for about 30 minutes, my wife walked by. And my wife looked into the box and said, oh, there's a part inside the box. And I look into the box, that's spare parts. Okay, so I continue to fix it because it's 80% done. And true enough, I try to fix it and it's shaking. Okay, it's not stable because I did not include that part. So I admitted my mistake and I had to re-disassemble it and then try to assemble it. And finally, I was able to put it all together and it was solid, it was stable. Okay, in IKEA, there is no additional part, there is no spare part. In the body of Christ, there is no additional part, there is no spare part. Okay? So none of us, we are not spare parts. Every single one of us has a role to play. Okay? If you're not playing your role, we are not working somewhere. Okay? We are shaking somewhere. There is a gap to be filled. Okay? The church is the body of Christ. Every single one of you, if God has called you here to be part of this church, and I pray that you will see the church as how God sees it. That I'm part of this body. I'm supposed to contribute somewhere. You know, I'm supposed to be a part. I'm supposed to encourage someone. I'm supposed to pray for someone. I'm supposed to serve somewhere. Because somewhere along the way, there is gaps, different ways. Okay, so that is the body of, that is church. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is church to you? And I pray that wherever you go, you will find a local church to plug in, to serve, and to build, and to be part of what God is building, pushing back the kingdom of darkness together. Amen? All throughout, it is the same, okay? Jesus said it, Acts 2 said it, and then even Hebrews 10 said it. It says, let us hold fast the confession, and then the confession of our faith goes to about one another, goes to speaks about community, right? Confession of faith, confession of Christ, leads to connection in community. It's always the case. Stirring up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. All the more you see the day drawing near. There's so many one another that is mentioned here. And finally, the third question, as you read further the verse in Matthew 16, Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever saves his life would lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The third question that we need to ask is that, what is the cross to you? Okay, what is the cross to you? Is the cross just a fashion icon? Is the cross something that we wear on a t-shirt? What is the cross? What Jesus says, upon the confession of Christ, he introduced the church and he challenged us. He tells us we are to pick up or carry our cross and follow. And different one of you, you have different cross. You have a different journey. Our brothers and sisters in places like China or the Middle East, they have a different cross to carry. Malaysia is predominantly a Muslim nation. In our country, it is against the law. You could be in jail if you try to evangelize or invite a Muslim. Right? That is our cross to carry in our nation. But every single one of us, we have a cross to carry. Part of my cross. Let me go back to one of the most difficult seasons of my life is this area here, okay? As mentioned, my parents are not Christian and they were supportive of me when I go to Manila for my ministry school training. When I came back, I felt that I wanted to work in church for campus ministry, for young adults ministry for a season. My parents were heartbroken, okay? They're not Christian, my parents are heartbroken. I'm the eldest son in the family. And I have always been getting good grades. They have high hopes for me. But when I go back and tell them that, hey, I want to work in the church in the next season of my life, they were heartbroken. Okay, my mom was crying. My dad was angry. They tells me, why don't you come back? Okay, they stay in another state. They say, why don't you come back? And for the first time, I never hear my mom say this. Okay, my mom said in Mandarin, she said that mommy has never begged you before. Consider now mommy begging you not to do this, but come back home. Okay, come back home. And I was trying to explain to them, it's still a job, you know, it's you know, all this kind of thing. But of course, they did not understand. Right? My dad was just, he couldn't say anything. And I felt that for the first time that I have disappointed my parents. And I don't want to disappoint my parents. And I felt that. But I knew that there was the cross that I needed to carry. I just kind of knew that there was the season that I needed to do that, right? And God was working something in me, and God was working something in my family. So I would drive around. I was crying, and I didn't know what to do. And I was driving around my town, which is Kuching, Sarawak. I was driving around, and there was this particular song that ministered to me. Okay, the song that speaks about, I will lay down... What's that song? I will lay down all my crowns, right? And I was, as I lay down all my crowns, I was thinking back at my crowns that I'm laying down. You know, the approval of my parents, my first class honors degree in finance, my potential job. I was thinking all these crowns, lay down on the crowns at the feet of Jesus, and I was crying. And this song, Redeemer, Savior, Friend, kept ministering to me. But in those days, it's not a CD and it's not a, you know, a Spotify. It's cassette tape. How many guys know how that looked like, right? Okay, so cassette tape. The song speaks to me. I was crying. You know, God touches me, the presence of God. And when the song finished, it's another song. And that song didn't speak to me. So I had to rewind. You know, it's either before or after. I had to rewind. Then the song played. Oh, then I cry again. After the song finished, I had to rewind again. So but anyways, but God ministered to me. But I knew that was the cross that I had to carry, right? Juggling between work and planting church and ministry, that's part of my cross that I had to carry. Of course, sometimes the joy of the Lord is upon me. Sometimes it could be challenging, especially when there's young family. But that was the cross that I'm supposed to carry. So when I feel that it's time for me to quit my corporate job, my managing director wanted me to stay 3-5 more years. I joined as a salesperson because I wanted more time and flexibility for family and church. But 3 years later, they asked me to lead a department. Eventually, I lead 40 salespeople. The department contributes half of the company's revenue. But I felt that it was time, and I knew that God gives and God takes away, and it was not difficult for me to say, okay, God, it's time. So I let it go, and it was okay. I enjoyed myself. I was fellowshipping. I had time. But 3 months later, my senior pastor passed away. And again, that was my cross that I needed to carry to take on that role, right? It's not something that I looked for, I wanted to. And I think when Pastor Steve came into Malaysia to kind of help us with the transition, he asked me these two questions. Sean, do you feel, after all the meetings, he said, Sean, just two questions. Do you feel called to, and do you want to? And I say, Pastor Steve, I can answer the first question easily. Yes, I feel called to, but I'm not sure whether I want to. Okay. He says, great, not everything you are called to, you like to do or you love to do, right? But as long as you're called to, right? So what is the cross to you? Okay, what is the cross? Every single one of you, they will come to a point of time where there is a cross that you need to carry. There is a sense of sacrifice. There could be a sense of rejection from the world. But that is the time whereby Jesus' words ring true, right? Pick up your cross and follow after me. So that's the three questions in life. As we confess that Jesus is the Christ, He's the Lord, we are being connected to church, we are being connected to community, that the church is the bride of Christ, the church is the body of Christ, and as we live out our life as a disciple of Christ, we are called to carry the cross. Okay, so Jesus gave us His commandment. Go into the world and make disciples, right? Carry the cross. I remember a quote by this theologian called E.M. Bounds. And he says, the world is looking for better methods, but God is always looking for better men. Okay? World is always looking for better methods, better strategy, better program, but God is always looking for better men and women who avail themselves to be used by God. Right? All throughout Christian history, it never fails, time and time again. You see God using men and women who avail themselves to be used by God. And God used them. There's no telling what God can do through ordinary men and women like you and I in the hands of an extraordinary God. E.M. Bounds. The world is looking for better methods. God is always looking for better men and better women. It's not about buildings. It's not about programs. Those are great stuff. You know, today, if you go to Europe, UK, you will see nice, aesthetic churches. But a lot of them are empty, right? Some of them are converted into a library, a cafe, a pub. It's not about building. It's always about men and women of God who avail themselves to be used by God, carrying the cross. There's one pastor that we had our lecture with a couple of years ago, and his name is Dave Ferguson in the US. And I remember the question that he was asked when he was in a final year university. He was a Christian, but someone asked him, says, "Dave, we all have one life to live, right? What are you trading your life for? Right? We are all trading our life for something, right? We are all trading it. The time just go one way. We're all trading our life for something. So what are you trading your life for?" And today that question haunted him, and he kind of asked, and he said he wants to trade his life for something that will outlast this world, that will outlast the earthly world. And he found that he wants to trade his life for helping people to discover about Jesus Christ. And it changes his trajectory of his life. Now, I'm not saying that all of us need to be a full-time pastor, full-time missionary, no. But all of us have to do this, right? Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything, not know everything, but to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always." Right? Why don't we stand? I'm just going to pray for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just close our eyes and pray. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you, God, that you have called us to be part of this church, which is a gathering of God's people to worship, to love one another, and to reach the world. God, I pray, God, that even as we see the commandment of going make disciples, Lord, it is not an every nation thing. It is not a pastor thing. It is a Christian thing. They've called every disciple to carry our cross and to fulfill what you have instructed us together as church. Some of us could be an engineer. Some of us could be a homemaker. Some of us could be a teacher. Some of us could be a lawyer, a student. It doesn't matter. But all of us, you have put us here together so that we can live out the call of discipleship in Taiwan, Lord, and beyond. God, we love you, Lord. God, we declare, God, Lord, fruitfulness upon this church. We declare life.
Yes, Jesus.
We declare that there will be an outbreak of disciples being raised. People who are in the same mind and same love and same spirit, God, Lord. That there will be an openness among the campus student. There will be an openness among the working professionals and the families. That the gospel begin to take roots in their hearts, God, Lord. That they begin to see that Jesus is not just a good teacher, a good person, but Jesus is the Christ, Lord. God, we thank you for this church. We pray, God, we declare strength upon strength, grace upon grace, God, Lord. Disciples, leaders, reach out, God, Lord. They will live out the call of making disciples in Taiwan, God, Lord. God, we want to avail ourselves to be men and women of God available to be used by you. Father, you will search our hearts, Lord. You will speak to us, Lord. You will speak to us, God, Lord. You will bring about adjustment in our hearts, God, Lord. So yes, sometimes we may set our minds astray sometimes, God, Lord. Today, Holy Spirit, would you align our hearts back to you, Lord. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the leadership of this church. And we thank you for every single one here called to be part of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.